Welcome to Toy Flavor Radio Soundtracks. We play all of your favorite anime openings, endings, retro, and current TV shows, movies, soundtracks, and along the way, learn a little bit about their history. Subscribe to our weekly show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please give us your ratings and reviews. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a voice message with your soundtrack request over at anchor.fm/toyflavor, and we'll play you and your request on the next show. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's episode of Toy Flavor Soundtracks. After Return of the Jedi, George Lucas decided to put down the whole Star Wars saga, in his words, feeling burnt out. After all, over 6 years of his life was devoted to producing these films. On May 19, 1999, George was back in the saddle again directing, looking to complete the saga with a new trilogy starting with the release of Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic. The taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems is in dispute. Hoping to resolve the matter with a blockade of deadly battleships, the greedy Trade Federation has stopped all shipping to the small planet of Naboo. While the Congress of the Republic endlessly debates this alarming chain of events, the Supreme Chancellor has secretly dispatched two Jedi Knights, the Guardians of Peace and Justice in the galaxy, to settle the conflict. Here, we are introduced to a youthful Jedi apprentice Obi-Wan Kenobi and his master, Qui-Gon Jinn, during the apex of the Jedi Order in the galaxy. They arrive at the blockade to conduct aggressive negotiations if need be. Unfortunately, Darth Sidious, a Sith Lord, has been pulling the strings of this blockade as well as a far-reaching plot to rule the galaxy.
Thank you.
Darth Sidious orders the Jedi's executed, forcing them to flee to the planet's surface, where they meet Gungan Jar Jar Binks and rescue Queen Padme Amidala from the Trade Federation's robots. Together, they escape the blockade with intentions to travel to the Republic capital on Coruscant, so she can plead for help from the bureaucrats. However, the hyperdrive was damaged during the escape, so they would need to land on the planet of Tatooine for repairs. Here, they meet a 9-year-old slave boy, Anakin Skywalker, and his mother. Anakin will prove to be a very talented pilot for his age, but more importantly, Qui-Gon Jinn will see him as a powerful Jedi of prophecy, the one to bring balance to the Force. Hunting them is Darth Sidious's apprentice, Darth Maul, a truly skilled Sith that confronts Qui-Gon Jinn during their leave of Tatooine. After a brief duel, the Jedis, Padme, and Anakin launch to Coruscant, which is also the home of the Jedi Temple. Padme goes about the business of dealing with political red tape with her friend and fellow homeworld Senator Palpatine. By now, it's no secret, you know the name. He will eventually become the Empire's Galactic Emperor. How he gets to that point, we shall see. At the Jedi Temple, we meet Yoda, Mace Windu, and other Jedis that feel out and test Anakin's validity to the prophecy. They don't believe he is the Chosen One, and think he's too at risk with his emotional ties to be trained. Qui-Gon takes him on regardless as an apprentice, defying the Jedi Order even though they have more pressing matters. After their brief encounter on Tatooine, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are charged with investigating if the one they fought was a Sith Lord. Padme, with Palpatine's encouragement, calls for a vote of no confidence in the Senate Chancellor as they are taking too long to help her people. In the end, Palpatine becomes the new Supreme Chancellor. Returning to Naboo, with the help of Jar Jar Binks, she forms an alliance with the Gungan people to repel the droid army and destroy the Federation blockade. Meanwhile, Darth Maul has pursued the Jedi to the planet and a duel of the fates ensues between the three. In the end, Qui-Gon Jinn is mortally wounded and Darth Maul is sliced in two by Obi-Wan's saber. Before his death, Qui-Gon wants Obi-Wan to continue Anakin's training. Obi-Wan agrees. As you can see, by going back to episode 1, the narrative fills in the gaps to create a different kind of understanding. Up until now, we assumed Darth Vader was this tyrant, villain, end of story. With episode 1, we start to gain texture to who this man will become. In short, we all never start off evil. What are the triggers that push us in the wrong direction? For Anakin, he creates strong, loving ties to the women in his life, his mother, and soon, Padme. For that, we go to May 16, 2002, at the release of Star Wars Episode II, The Attack of the Clones. There is unrest in the galaxy's Senate. Several thousand solar systems have declared their intentions to leave the Republic. This separatist movement, under the leadership of the mysterious Count Dooku, has made it difficult for the limited number of Jedi Knights to maintain peace and order in the galaxy. Senator Amidala, the former Queen of Naboo, is returning to the Galactic Senate to vote on the critical issue of creating an army of the Republic to assist the overwhelmed Jedi. This film starts 10 years from the events of The Phantom Menace. The politics of controlling a galaxy of Union planets is overwhelming and war is brewing. Senator Amidala arrives on Coruscant to deliver her vote and meets 19-year-old Anakin Skywalker, apprentice to Obi-Wan Kenobi. His affections for her are obvious, while it takes her much of the movie to warm up to his advances. After an assassination attempt, Palpatine recommends the Jedi protect her during her travels, thus bringing Anakin in closer proximity to Padme. When there is yet another attempt on her life, Obi-Wan investigates the assassin, leading him to an ocean planet of Kamino, where they have cloned a bounty hunter named Jango Fett for the Republic's army, already prepared long before the need was required. Here, you find Jango, who is a Mandalorian, by the way, with a son, an unaltered clone named Boba Fett. You will remember him in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Oh, and a Christmas special we won't talk about. Totally related and unrelated at the same time. While Obi-Wan chases after Jango to the planet Geonosis, Anakin is watching over Padme. He receives premonitions of his mother in pain back in Tatooine. He takes Padme with him to rescue his mother, only to find out he is too late. She was captured by Tusken Raiders, indigenous violent tribes on the planet, and she dies in his arms. An emotional wreck by this point, Anakin slaughters the Tusken Raiders. As you can see, we are witnessing Anakin's walk to the dark side.
Thank you.
Back on the planet Geonosis, Obi-Wan is captured by Count Dooku while sending a transmission to the Jedi Council about the assassination attempts on Padme and the armies pledging their alliance to Count Dooku. Even though given direct orders to stay where he is, Padme convinces Anakin to voyage to Geonosis to rescue Obi-Wan. Meanwhile, due to the overwhelming evidence of beating war drums, the Senate provides emergency powers to the Supreme Chancellor Palpatine in order to handle the threat. He then orders the creation of an army, which we know he already initiated. Everything converges on Geonosis. Here, the New Republic Army of Clones and the Jedi battle the Trade Federation droids throughout the landscape. The battle does take its tolls. Many Jedi are lost, and the fight between Count Dooku, Obi-Wan, and Anakin results in Obi-Wan seriously injured and Anakin losing his right arm. The best part of the film, hands down, will be when Yoda takes on Count Dooku in a duel of lightsabers. Eventually, Count Dooku will escape and join his master, Darth Sidious, to report the war has begun. The film ends with the Jedi's reduced in number, the Republic warping into the Imperial Empire, and Anakin Skywalker secretly marrying Padme Amidala on her homeworld. We are down to our last three movies. One to close out the prequel trilogy, and two for the newest that will hand you off directly to this week's release of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Without further ado, let's begin with Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. War. The Republic is crumbling under attacks by the ruthless Sith Lord Count Dooku. There are heroes on both sides. Evil is everywhere. In a stunning move, the fiendish droid leader General Grievous has swept into the Republic capital and kidnapped Chancellor Palpatine, leader of the Galactic Senate. As the Separatist droid army attempts to flee the besieged capital with their valuable hostage, two Jedi Knights lead a desperate mission to rescue the captive Chancellor. The team-up of Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker, a much more mature and confident Jedi Knight, continues through the daring rescue of Chancellor Palpatine from General Grievous. We'll be right back. Returning to Coruscant, Anakin meets secretly with his now pregnant wife, Padme Amidala. Like his mother prior, he starts to have dreams of his wife dying during childbirth, plus recurring visions of Obi-Wan involved. Jealousy and fear, the two vices that disrupt the Jedi's focus, are weighing on Anakin. At the same time, he is appointed to the Jedi Council by Chancellor Palpatine, but denied the title of Jedi Master, fueling his inner bitterness. Caught in the middle, Anakin is asked by Palpatine to keep tabs on the Jedi, and the Jedi want Anakin to keep an eye on Palpatine. Palpatine is fully aware of Anakin's fears of losing Padme, telling the emotionally troubled Jedi he is the Sith Lord everyone is looking for, and he knows the secrets of saving Padme's life. Troubled by the news of the Sith Lord, but elated that he might hold the secret to saving his wife, Anakin still reports his findings to Mace Windu, who brings a small troop of Jedis to apprehend or kill the Sith Lord, disrupting the peace everywhere. A fight ensues, and Palpatine lays waste to the Jedi that came for him. All except Mace Windu, who would have finished the Sith Lord if it weren't for Anakin turning against Mace during the battle, killing him. Lost and confused, Anakin pledges himself as an apprentice to Darth Sidious, given the official title of Darth Vader, Sith Lord. From here, all hope falls apart.
Stop!
Sidious enacts Order 66, having the clone soldiers turn against the Jedi's throughout the galaxy, leaving no one left alive. Darth Vader storms the unattended Jedi temple to slaughter anyone that remains, including the children, permanently solidifying his choice to the dark side. Obi-Wan meets with Padme to reveal what Anakin has done. Knowing she would lead him directly to Anakin, he stows away on her ship as they travel to the volcanic world of Mustafar. When Vader sees both Padme and Obi-Wan together, in his rage he lashes out at her, choking her with the Force, rendering her unconscious. Obi-Wan knows the man before him is no longer the friend he knew. Darth Vader and Obi-Wan's duel will be epic and sad. Obi-Wan defeats Vader, relieving Vader of his legs and left arm near the volcanic fires. Obi-Wan leaves, taking Padme, who would need to undergo emergency extraction of her twin children, Luke and Leia. Padme Amidala will not survive. Meanwhile, Darth Sidious returns to Mustafar to attend to his apprentice, returning what's left of him to Coruscant to outfit him with a life-saving armored black suit. Yes, the one we know oh so well. The Jedi are no more. The Republic is now the Galactic Empire with a Sith Lord as its emperor. Yoda goes into hiding on Dagobah. Leia is adopted to Bail Organa and his wife on Alderaan. Luke is placed in the care of Anakin's extended family on the moisture farm, with Ben Kenobi watching from a distance, waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, we're two films and two nights away from the release of Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. Tune in tomorrow for the fourth and final installment of our recap of the series. Thank you for listening and have a great evening.